Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. Guys, how does it feel knowing that if the Super Bowl or if the playoffs started today, Bills would have won the Super Bowl?
Yo, not good. Yeah. I think that's crazy. Everyone wanted to see Josh fucking Allen touch the ball one more time.
I mean, that shows you the impact of a player of that magnitude. Like, not just anyone could go and change the game. Let's say someone like, Baker Mayfield, you know, that I don't think we're having this conversation, but you know, you got Josh's performance, and then I don't know if it was McDermott or if it's Pegula or if it's Bean or if it's a combination of all of them, just you know, goes up to the NFL owners being in and just, you know, pulls a Will Smith on him and says, look, you freaking take the ball out of our freaking quarterback's hand one more time, you're getting popped right in the mouth. Yeah, I mean, this is huge. I mean, the Bills, I mean, or you could say the Bills, you could say Josh Allen changed the rules of the NFL. I don't think that's ever happened before.
No. That's fantastic, though. I mean, is anyone more – so that just confirms that Josh Allen will never lose a playoff game.
Well, I could see where this comes away to, like, the bite us. Like, oh, yeah, congratulations, we got our rule, then something tragic happens next year. But how do you think other teams feel? Like, let's look at some other team. Like, for example, like even the Chiefs, like a few years ago when they lost to the Patriots in overtime, or like even the Packers who had two back-to-back overtime losses. So it's just like, do you guys think they're like, well, why is this happening now in a way? Or do you think it's like, it just makes too much sense?
I think slowly but surely, and everyone knew it, the league is going more and more offense. And if you look at the quarterback play in the AFC going up and up, you do whatever you can to keep that going up. And I think this is part of that. I think now, though, you will see a lot of teams defer instead of receive when they win the coin toss in overtime, like they do to start the game. And also, just to be clear, for everyone who might not know yet, this rule is strictly for playoffs. The regular season rule stays the same. If both teams score a touchdown, then it goes to regular sudden death. And that's where we stand right now.
I think that's okay. There's
a thing you said, Gabe, about how, you know, the coin toss thing. But does this also change what happened maybe potentially in the fourth quarter? You know, Buffalo goes ahead. Do they maybe go for two? So it doesn't go to OT? Would that change your strategy there at the end of the game?
To tie it, but you mean like, let's say you score a touchdown. Are you saying you're within 1 point to tie, or are you saying you're up by six and now you're going to go for two?
Are you talking about the final touchdown of the Chiefs game where they went up by if they go for two, then instead of the Chiefs having to kick a field goal, they have to go all the way down to score.
Yeah,
I don't know, because we criticize John Harbaugh a lot for losing games in the regular season because of going for two. Yeah. I could only imagine what the backlash would be if that was a playoff game.
Fair. It's cool still either way to see a rule made after our guy. So, like, every picture I saw on the internet today, it was like the rule changed, but then it was a picture of Josh Allen. They didn't use any other player. It was Josh Allen. So it's
I think they all, like, whether you're the Bills – management, owner, whatever, or you're another team, and you've got to think about the whole brand of the league first. And it's like, I mean, and again, you can argue who the best player is, but you can say, oh my god, a rule took the best player off the field.
Yeah.
And what was, like, one of the owners went up and went like, okay, so we looked at every single overtime game in the playoffs in the past, like, I want to say 5 years, like, I don't remember the number, but like, it was always like whoever got the ball first ended up winning like 80% of the time. Yeah. And like, this is like classic games where it's like, okay, yeah, that's a dramatic ending, but like, what if the other team was given a shot? Like, so I think it's perfect. I think this is exactly what people asked for.
Yeah. You hear Sean McVay say, you know, you wouldn't find anyone that didn't want to see Josh Allen get the ball one more time. And he said something along those lines. I don't remember the exact quote, so sorry, I'm misquoting that. But
no, you're good.
It was something along those lines where he was like, no one's going to disagree that Josh should have got the ball one more time. So
yeah, it was something like, let's be honest, Josh Allen should have touched the ball again or something like that.
It was something along those lines, which I think anyone that watches the game of football or understands the game of football would tell you that, yeah, Josh Allen should have had the ball one more time. So
I mean, he had freaking 9 touchdowns, had like a 140 passer rating, and only won one playoff game.
Yeah, he had the best playoff performances here. And
so that's just
in 2 games.
2 games. It's one of the. It wasn't like one of the best performances ever in the playoffs ever. Not just this
year. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the first game set records.
Yeah.
And then the second game, I mean,
shattered him.
Yeah.
Best game I've ever seen. So.
Yeah. I mean, both. I mean. Both teams played exceptionally well, both quarterbacks, I should say. And
yeah, not the defenses.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks aren't a win stat, though. Or wins aren't a quarterback stat, right?
Quarterbacks aren't a win
stat. Yeah, whatever. I don't know what's in this guy. I don't know what's in this guy.
What's a win stat?
Anyway, but it's crazy to think, like, what was it, like 5-ish years ago, maybe more than that now, a one drive field goal wins you a game in overtime, and now it's completely different.
How is that even like a thing? I'm sorry. I still can't believe that was ever a thing. I know that it was not that long ago, but like all you have to do is like go 30 yards and you win the game. That's just, I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Next on the agenda, the Pegulas lubing us all up.
I don't know. Start saving your money now.
I'm sure there's varying opinions on this. I mean, we've seen a bunch of them. We heard a bunch of them already, but yeah, I don't know what people were expecting. This is how business is done now in the last, however many stadiums, LA, Las Vegas, Arizona, all the Dallas, all the big stadiums. I mean, this is how billionaires aren't paying for their stadiums. We're paying for them. So
I think the thing people are, I mean, who am I to speak on people's behalf? You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the thing more is the PSL thing than it is the original funding of the stadium. I think that's more the situation. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I don't mind the PSLs. That's again, normal procedure now. Like, I just think everyone's in shock about it because it's, you know, this is Buffalo. Everyone thinks we can't do certain things. Everyone's afraid of change around here.
Is it that like that we're the second tier type of mentality? Like this only happens to the important teams type of thing?
Yeah. And I think that's the reality is a lot of fans need to start realizing that we are now the top tier. We are, you know, there's no doubt. I think in a lot of people's minds that Josh Allen is going to win this team a championship. And when that happens, we will have an amazing stadium to go along with it. So I don't know. I think to be considered, you know, this has to happen. Unfortunately, your taxes are going to go up a little bit. If you don't like it, move to Florida. I don't know what to tell people. It's only going to be like $43 a person. So, I mean, over the course of the stadium. So, I'm not really sure.
It looks like a soccer market's going to come to the stadium too.
Yeah, it would be.
I hope so.
I think we'll get an MLS team out of the deal. I think that's something that they want. So. Which is nice. That means it's probably going to be, and I think it's going to have, you know, real grass. I think you'll have the shit will be rolling in and out of the stadium. They'll do real grass, the artificial turf if they need to for certain things. But I would expect to have that kind of thing. I mean, it's going to look like Tottenham. Apparently, I've seen pictures of the blueprints. So, I mean, I don't have sources apparently, but I saw what it looks like. So.
Wait, is it true it's going to be less seats?
Yes, 60 to 62,000.
It's going to be the smallest stadium in the NFL.
That's the future, though. That's what everyone's doing.
Really?
It's more quality of seats than quantity of them.
Yeah, it makes it like it has to be like an higher end experience. I don't know. That's normal. Who's the next stadium up? Whoever the next stadium is, watch. It'll be less seats than ours, or it'll be right around ours.
It's interesting. It's interesting though what you said earlier, like that's just how business is done now. And it is. Because like you said, the Rams, I mean, I know we're not Los Angeles and our stadium, our new one won't be SoFi Stadium. I get that. But that's just the direction that this league and that this brand is going in. And if I know quality of play is the most important thing, and you wanna, you know, stick to your values and stick to like what you were built upon, but I don't know if I even want to say unfortunately, but that's just, you can only avoid change for so long. And if you forget about that, then it'll forget about you. And that's just the world we're in. That's the business it's in. And yeah. I feel like this kind of is the inevitable option, whether you want to do it now or next year or whenever, but you're going to do it.
Well, and if you do it in a couple of years, it costs the taxpayers $1 billion. I mean, it's the only price only goes up. So
there you go.
You know, you have to do it. You either do it or you don't have an NFL team. It's pretty simple. I know the other thing that people are in a tizzy about is the fact that it's not a dome, but I'm big team no dome. So
exactly.
We're all no dome.
Yeah. Like this is Buffalo.
Super Bowl's not coming either way.
No. Definitely not.
No, that's not after Super Bowl 48.
We might get a draft. I think we could probably maybe get a draft.
But that'd be nice.
I'd be down for that.
I think we could get a draft here. Combine. Oh, I don't know if they'll move the combine, but you know.
But for all the OG, right? I mean, for all the OG Bills fans, at least for the next 4 years, we can at least still experience what the Ralph was with Rich. Like we still get that feel. We're going to have that for the next 5 years. So
they're putting it in the same spot. I mean, you're not going to lose much.
Doug, that's actually a really good message too, is like for the next 4 years or whatever, enjoy it. Enjoy this stadium because it will not be there anymore. You'll go to a game in 2026 and that stadium will be a parking lot.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Don't bitch about it.
At the same time.
Make memories and enjoy it.
At the same time, this isn't like the Raiders moving from Oakland to Vegas or the Chargers moving from San Diego to LA. They're moving right next door. Like you're not going to lose a lot.
Yeah.
And you know what? Do you think that like this actually could be like a turn a new, okay. I know it's only moving across the street. I get that, but that stadium is known for mostly heartbreak, right? Like think about it. That was Rich Stadium during the four Super Bowl losses, the drought. And now like we're contenders again. But now it's just it just feels like we keep falling into that same heartbreak scenario. So maybe it could be a good thing.
But you talk about heartbreak, and then I look at it at the other end of the spectrum because I'm overly optimistic, I think, when it comes to this stuff, is we had, you know, AFC championship games here, wild card games. We had the greatest comeback ever.
Oh yeah.
There's all these things, like, and maybe that's just the old man in me talking, but like for every negative effect, there was also a positive thing there. You know, Jim Kelly, you got to witness him in that stadium, and you know, Bruce Smith of the world, the Hall of Famers. You know, the only thing I'm gonna be mad about is to take OJ off the wall.
They'll
find a way.
I say that, but they're a fucking 100% taking him off.
What? No,
they're gonna forget to put him on.
Yeah, his letters went missing, his 9 letters went missing. Or 10, whatever it is.
I'll say this, though, about what you guys are saying. Like, you got Doug saying, like, the heartbreak, and you saying, like, nice memories. I don't think either one matters in this decision.
No.
No.
Is it okay to have a perspective?
No.
I just wonder if they're going to pre-build a Josh Allen statue so they don't have to add it later. That's what I want to know.
Let's hold on.
They're going to make it life-size?
I don't know. There's not enough metal for that dick.
That's where I was going, and I didn't want to say it.
This is the podcast where we talk about both Baker Mayfield and flirt with Josh Allen. That's great to know.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen Josh Allen, buddy, but he makes guys swoon.
Yeah, and right in the plaque of the statue, change the rules.
Yeah. Change the game. He's gonna end up being on the NFL Shield. They're gonna get rid of that shitty football, and he's gonna do the logo. He's gonna be the logo we designed or that Kyle designed. So, yeah,
the hurdle.
Yeah, I'm excited though. I'm excited for a new stadium. I think this is something that the city of Buffalo. I know it's in Orchard Park, but it's something the city and the fans deserve. All those years of suffering, we're gonna have this shiny new stadium.
Let me ask you this. I know there wasn't as much social media back then, but when the Sabres moved out of the Odd to where they are now, was there as much disagreement?
Yeah.
If you remember.
Probably.
I don't remember.
There was. People love the – I mean, people still talk about the Odd.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I see in you know, in our job, Gable, your old job, but, like, you hear people talk about the Odd. I mean, it still has its – and people will still talk about Ralph Wilson and Rich Stadium, and they'll still talk about
– Probably more so.
Probably more so, yeah, because there were better memories. The Odd wasn't – this fantastical place. It was a shithole. It was, you were, thought you were gonna fall. I remember sitting up in the oranges and thought I was gonna fall as a kid. Like, but it, that was like the part of it. It felt like you were on top of the ice. It was just the atmosphere. But yeah, there's that old, it's gonna be always gonna be like that. There's gonna be those two sides. Like the guys that are stuck in their old ways that don't want to change, and then they're afraid to change because it costs them more money or whatever the reason. And then there's, you know, the younger generation who wants the shiny new toy. And we're gonna get one. I mean, it's gonna be, when it's done, it's gonna be, we haven't even really seen the actual mock-ups of it. It's gonna be gorgeous, you know. It's gonna be a great stadium.
Yeah,
we see Mercedes Benz, and it's like, whoa, shit. And then that's what we're gonna have, if not better.
So, I don't know about those. Are like what, like $5 billion stadiums?
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I know some people will ride if there's no fucking urinal trough though or whatever. That's a shout out to you, Meerkat buddy.
You guys got anything else you want to say about the stadium?
No, let's talk about some fucking football.
All right. Why the hell not?
Let's get to the draft.
Okay, let's get
to, let's get yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just going to ask you guys flat out. First position.
Running back.
Cornerback.
Come on. You know I'm going running back, right? After I was pounding the pavement last year for Travis Etienne.
Don't draft a running back in the first round. We can get Breece Hall in the second or Isaiah Phillips in the third.
No.
I don't know if you could get Breece Hall late second round.
I don't think you're getting him at 57. I know there's mocks going with him. He's not going to be there at 57.
I'm on the Isaiah Phillips train.
I don't want another back that's not first. I want a first round talent because Devin Singletary is not a first round talent. And he plays
Isaiah like Phillips not, is he's like the second. He's like right up there with Breece Hall. Isaiah Phillips from Texas A&M.
No, stop.
Yes, he is.
No, it's
Breece Hall. You see him? He can break. He can do everything. He can break tackles. He's good catching. He's him and him. Okay, Breece Hall is 1A. He's 1B. Like 1B. Come on. Like, you know, it's 1B. You know, it's not going to work out that way.
What about Kenneth Walker?
He's 1C. He's got more of the flashier option because, like, he had such a big year for Michigan State. But I don't think he's as tough as Isaiah Phillips. He's kind of like I think we can get him. I think we can get Isaiah Phillips, and I think that will be just as good.
What about James Cook?
He isn't developed. I don't know. I do like the Georgia running back. So Zamir White, I'm also a fan of James Cook. I don't know. I feel like I think someone said something really dumb. We're like, oh, he's like mini Dalvin Cook. Like, well, yeah, that's his younger brother. Good job.
That's a good thing. Then I'm not sure if that was an insult because that's a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I think he's underdeveloped. I don't know.
I want it to be a running back. You guys know where I stand on this. I'm gonna be insufferable until the draft happens because
I don't think the first round to be wide receiver because like. No. I mean, I could see them drafting a wide receiver in the mid rounds because, like, I know that getting Jameson Crowder is not like this big, sexy move. I get it, but look, their situation is pretty good.
It actually kind of is a big, sexy move considering the situation. I think
it is. I absolutely love the Jameson Crowder signing.
Like, if this was the Giants signing him, no, it's not even news. But I think it's news here.
Okay, I'm saying it was a good move, but like I wasn't really calling it a flashy move because like Jameson Crowder is just like a reliable slot guy instead of like this big sexy wide receiver.
I think he's a little bit more than just reliable. I think he can be a difference maker in the passing game.
I agree, but like
the best offense he's on,
yeah,
his career. Yeah.
Well, I would expect him to have a career year because that's what every receiver that does that plays with Josh Allen when they get here.
And I mean, I know wide receiver depth is obviously, especially this day and age, very important. But if you have too many number ones, I mean, it could get sloppy. Knowing your role and just having dependable guys is almost good enough. But back to the whole first round, second round thing. We did beat the drum last year for ETN, and, you know, he got hurt. So it was hard to see, like, what his production would have been in Jacksonville or could have been here in Buffalo. But we did see Najee Harris, who we never really thought we had a chance of getting, and he led the league in usage. mainly because he was, you know, he played with Big Ben, who was aging, and, you know, a lot of run plays, a lot of screens. So the volume was there. But at the same time, he was very effective, and he made the best of a bad situation with, like, a bad O-line and all that. And I don't know, would you guys rather have had, let's say, hypothetically, Travis Etienne was healthy. Do you want him or do you want Greg Rousseau? Seeing after seeing what you saw last year,
fuck.
In that case, I mean, if you're looking at production wise, I want to say at the end.
Well, and I would see now if I'm looking at the whole picture. Can I look at everything that's happened too? Because like, if now if I'm looking at Von Miller brought in and DaQuan Johnson and Tim Settle, like Rousseau's going to be a beast working with those guys. So now, yeah, and I would say now I would want Rousseau. And I was hard ETN last year, like really, really wanting ETN. But I think I would say Rousseau now because the information he's going to learn from just Von Miller alone is going to be like invaluable. Him, you know, I don't know. I think Rousseau is going to be a stud this year. I think you're going to see, you know, why he was behind Chase Young in sacks in college.
I think this is like the most in-depth D-line that we've seen in years. Yeah. Like, I think this is like the best deal. I mean, I think 2014. This is like the best D-line since like 2014. Exactly.
Yeah. This D-line. I mean, think about it too. The D-line, you minus Von Miller and the D-line still really good. Right. So you had a really good D-line and you add Von Miller, a future Hall of Famer. I just think it's crazy. Like I didn't see that move coming a mile away.
No, we were all waiting for Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I did not. And what if it was Von Miller the whole time?
Probably was. I thought that was a lot of thing.
That's a bean move. Like, yeah, hey, gotta move over here. I'm doing something.
He went on Pat McAfee and said free agency's probably done and then signed Jameson Crowder within like 24 hours of that.
It's about smoke screens. That's all it's about.
Yeah, they are definitely one of the best front offices with that shit. Keeping shit so tight that you have no idea what's going on.
So back to the draft, though, and I know the whole thought process now is running backs are a dime a dozen, and they're always, you know, inexpensive if you draft them and you don't invest too much in one. Like, let's say you had a top five pick, you're not doing a running back probably ever again. That's probably never happening again. But in unique situations like the Bills are in now, I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl winners, I'm not saying they have, you know, top five running backs, but they have something that scares you at the running back position some way, somehow, and they can pound it when they have to, and you have to respect their run game. Look at Tampa with Fournette and Jones that one year. Look at this year you had Cam Akers with Sony Michel and
I don't know about that one. I mean, that's okay. Not really good.
Okay, I mean, but what – it was respectable.
That's like the only one, though.
It was respectable. Their O-line play was respectable, and I'm not saying – I mean, I know Cooper Kupp, Odell, and until he got hurt, obviously, and company was the main thing, along with that D-line that ate up the Bengals O-line. We all know the story. But I just mean leading up to that, and there was something respectable about the run game. And look at our game against the Chiefs, whether it was screens or actual run plays, like Jerick McKinnon – was of X factor in that game. Allaire was running by our linebackers in that game. Singletary did show up for that later half of that year. But I think there's just got to be more. I mean, Moss, I don't think is it. No offense to him. I don't think Johnson is it. McKissick could have been something, but even still, I don't think that would have been the over the edge thing. I think something like Breece Hall could be. But at the same time, if the draft were tonight and they're on the clock and Roger McCreary is available, I'm taking him, the corner from Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be – you need the Raiders. What's going to happen is the Raiders will fuck up a couple picks.
Well,
they don't have a first-round pick anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Oh, yeah. It's the Packers pick.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, the Packers will take a linebacker. So there's that.
No, they would never.
That's not going to happen.
No.
No, they don't. It's either going to be – they have no choice but to take a wide receiver now.
I'm going to mute both you fuckers.
No. My point is – no, I don't think you get what I'm saying. they haven't addressed drafting a real middle linebacker and since like AJ Hawk. So even if that was a desperate need, they're not going to do it. That's the only point I'm making. But
they'll take a center.
Maybe.
No, actually maybe. Yeah. They're probably they're going to take Kenyon Green. I'm calling that now.
Anyway. If I'm being realistic, if I had a bet, I'd say they take a corner with the first pick and then early second round, they invest a lot of picks into trading up in the second and take Breece Hall. And then who the hell cares what else you get?
Yeah, I don't.
A guard. I think they're going to get a gem guard in the middle rounds.
I think too, a lot could hinder on too, because I still think that there's an outside shot they trade for Bradbury from the Giants. If that happens, that changes then the pick is probably a running back or a receiver at 25.
Oh, I mean, if that happens, they could sit pretty at 25 knowing they're going to get Breece Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think Jameson Williams probably won't be there at 25. There's like four teams that draft kind of right before us that might go all receivers. So
I think the pick's going to be Trent McDuffie. I kind of have a feeling. It's going to be Trent McDuffie. Then they're going to grab a running back in the second round, find some wide receiver in the third round, and then find like a gem of guard in like the fourth or fifth.
I would swap that.
I like what Gabe said, honestly.
It's my word.
Get rid of all your later picks, get up in an early round two and get Breece Hall and be done.
I still think they're going to go offensive line in the middle.
Fuck, no, we don't need an offensive line.
No, my point was they would go O-line before receiver.
Probably.
Oh, that's fair.
Probably.
I mean, that's fair, but I think they're going to – because right now, yeah, they're set on the right side because Ryan Bates is playing on the right side, but, like, you can't really depend on Roger Sofold. They're going to find someone to develop like they did for Spencer Brown.
They got Beck Barker. What's he do?
He's a depth guy. He's good. I mean, I'm not hitting it at all, but, like, he's not that guy.
Anybody's an upgrade over like Feliciano and Cody Ford.
No, he's just not it. He's a depth. He's great depth, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the line, even when he was starting, it wasn't great. And it didn't get good with Ryan Bates, but I think they're going to find some guy that's going to take Sofold to develop him for the future. That's where I think.
Right. I think Cody Ford, we can find a backup for him probably. I know someone that's going to buy a fridge this weekend. I'll save the box.
Do we still go tight end at some point?
No.
Even with O.J. Howard?
No. They're going to keep Tommy Sweeney still, too.
Jesus.
Why? What's wrong with Tommy Sweeney?
He's Tommy Sweeney. That's what's the matter with him.
What's wrong with that?
You want three number ones?
No. You keep him as a backup.
Well, no, I'm asking Doug, you want three number one tight ends?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying, I don't think we should, because, like, I've seen some mock drafts where we still take a tight end, like, in the fifth. It's like, oh, okay.
No,
I mean, I guess.
No way.
I guess that's
at that point, like, you're just doing whatever, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was, because, like, I've seen, like, literally, like, 10 mock drafts where we still take a tight end. I'm like, dude, we just got O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, our goal is to possibly, I mean, hey, if he's like a rock next year and he's like solid, I say we try and he's still young as hell. He's like what, 26?
He was drafted what, 2 years before Knox? Yeah, he's like 26.
Yeah, he's like 26. It's like he's like in his prime. Yeah. I try and sign him long term, then you're set. You have the best tight end set in the league.
Still gotta pay Knox. And I mean, Knox's number should go down this year because of OJ being here. So maybe you can get him a little cheaper than you would have thought originally. Well, and that's assuming that, you know, Josh and OJ get on the same page.
It's going to have to depend because, like, there's still the situation where, like, OJ Howard is, like, he's a great blocker. So he actually could help it, like, help with the running game in itself. Then who knows? Maybe Knox, like, breaks out.
Yeah.
Obviously, I want Howard to have a great year, but we really don't know because we're not in the locker room, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a top 10 or top 11 pick when he was drafted.
Yeah, and he was just underutilized in Tampa.
Well, he got overshadowed by Cameron Brait and Gronk, and he just kind of got lost in the sauce. So it's a good system. I mean, we don't run, what is it, the 12 personnel? Or what do they call it, 11 personnel, whatever the hell they call it, two tight end set. We don't run that hardly at all. Now next year we're going to probably run it more than most.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So it should help everything. It should help the entire offense. you know, the goal should be to have Josh have to run less. You know, we're big fans of Josh running. We've all been pretty smart about, you know, eventually it's going to catch up to him, right? He can't dodge a bullet forever. Maybe he can.
Maybe that's he has to stay mobile in the pocket.
Yeah. I mean, if the offense is opening up, you know, we should have, you know, a little bit more going on.
I mean, ideally, if he can make a play last 7 seconds, it's impossible to cover someone for that long, so you don't have to run.
You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to run at all. So, we'll see.
Maybe just move left and right to like guide the receivers, but that's about it.
Yeah,
it's easy for him.
Yeah,
he's fastest on the field by far, or at least on the lot, but like of anyone coming within that area.
Yeah, I think we're set.
Was not arguing that.
Fuck good.
Fuck you were. But yeah, I think wraps it up, right, guys? Yeah. We'll have more in-depth draft analysis in the next coming weeks. We'll have a special guest on next week. I'm not saying it because I don't want to, but stay tuned for that one. And if you like what you heard for the last half hour, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We're on YouTube. Again, hopefully we'll get that going at 71 Blitz.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the podium at the NFL Draft in Las Vegas, the Back of Your White Bronco, anywhere you can listen to get your premiere Bills content.
The only Blitz in Buffalo.
The only Blitz in Buffalo.
This train never stops.
This train never stops. Let's go.